That is, God is saying that, okay, after you have gotten up and confessed word and prayed and done all sacrifices necessary, there is one that is tangibly missing, sacrifice of thanksgiving. And why he's missing is that I'm not doing anything for you. Do you get my point? Jacob is running away from home. He doesn't commit his way to the hands of the Lord. So God is not there to take care of him. So he has no reason to pay vows on his way back. But Jacob, knowing this, when he was leaving, he said, God, if you will bless me indeed, I will do this. And then when he came back, he paid his vows to God. You know what God is saying here? And I told you about thanksgiving. If you only ask God for that, or you challenge your faith in life for that which every other person can achieve, when you are thanking God, it really will not be from the bottom of your heart. You don't get my point. That is, let's assume you want to go to school, or you finish from a state university. There's a reason why I want to give an example. And you had a second, no, you finished from a federal university, and you had a second class upper in banking and finance. You know, if you go to a job, to a bank to take a job, and you get a job, you will say thanksgiving out of Christian practice. Because the reality is that they want you anyway. They are begging for your tithes anyway. That except you sinned against God or God has a special reason, that is the only reason why you obstruct your motion there. You understand my point? But right now they have put an embargo on people from from polytechnics and state universities. And you now live with maybe a third class or a second class lower from a state university or you have an HND. And then in your heart you say, no, I feel like a banker and I want to step in there to work. So you go for the interview with the Spirit of God. No, you commit your ways into God's hands and then you go for the interview believing that God will move you. Now, you remember what I said before? I'm not saying you go there like an idiot and talking nonsense and expect that God will work a miracle. That is, you believe God for wisdom to excel in the interview. Are you following my point? So you step in there and at the end of the day, when you come out, they will sit in the board meeting and argue that our policy is we don't take people from this kind of place. But they say, look at this interview and look at how the guy performed. Like Pharaoh will say, we discovered that in him lies a spirit that is not common amongst other Nigerians. Do you know if at the end of the day they give you that job above everybody else, you will come out and say, God, how great thou art. That is against the predictions of men. God moved. Are you getting my point? That is, David will say, I am dancing because of God that chose me over your father's house and made me king in Israel. Are you getting my point? Then you will really thank God from the bottom of your heart. God said, you know the thing? My godly people, they don't do it. They are happy with satisfying their conscience that we have saved God. But I am happy because I am unhappy with them because they have not made any demand on their faith in me. Do you get my point? You know, I like preaching about Nigeria. You know, that's my favorite topic. You know, every day, you see very spiritual men, they treat visa like breakthrough. You don't understand what I'm saying? Why are all of you looking lost? Look, that thing called visa is not a sin. I hope you understand my point. It's a good thing, but it's not breakthrough. Like I told them in NYC Cab last Sunday, to me, a visa to Rwanda is equivalent to a visa to America. I can't see the difference. Both of them are foreign countries. As God, who I serve with all my heart, lives, I know what I'm telling you. A visa to Angola, the same thing as a visa to UK, in my heart. Oh. What is the difference? Anywhere I go, I'm on a mission. I'm not a beggar. You follow my point? So what is the special thing about a UK visa? What is it? I'm a blessed man. Are you getting my point? Everywhere I go to impart blessing. That is why I have sworn by God on earth, I will never beg any man for a visa. In fact, if I ever go for a visa interview, I will refuse to sit down. You guys say, please sit down. I said, I like to stand. Please sit. I insist on standing. You can't interview me, let me have it. I will make it clear. I'm not begging you for this rubbish. No, look, I have been saying this. First time I told somebody, they said, hey, because they don't mind it, that's how they talk. When they saw me leave Lagos and come to Enugu, they knew I was moving further away from where they issue visas. I most certainly wasn't looking for a visa. American visa lottery. Before anybody heard of visa lottery, I played it. That is, my friend came to tell me, and we went to USIS to go and ask them. Now, after that, I heard that if you win, you must travel. And I said, no, you don't understand. I thought it was something you collect and put in your pocket. So anytime you want to travel, you use it. They said, no, they give you a visiting visa. Then after staying 6 months, you get an immigrant visa. I said, me, leave Nigeria to go and stay in America for 6 months? I said, I'm not interested. So I stopped. For your information, I made that statement when I was earning 5,000 naira a month as a resident doctor. Ha! You know, by that time I had read Isaiah 66 verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Ask my wife. In fact, I'm sure I've said in your presence before, anytime I'm thanking God, the greatest thing I thank him for, when you are worshiping God, God that made this, I say, no, God who is my hope, who is my expectation, who will yet make my name great, who will never let somebody say, we told him. I said, God, it will never happen, no, that in this country, somebody opens my mouth and say, we used to tell him, he was just talking like, you know, he felt he was the only one that knew God. Listen. Nobody will ever have that mouth to talk. Never. I'm not talking because, I'm not saying that God will remove their mouth and stitch it, because they will have no cause to say it. What they will ever have cause to say, which I've heard again and again, is that, oh boy, you guys were wise. You are the wise ones. I said, yes. It will happen again and again that men will tell me that you were the one that made the right decision. We thought you were being foolish. We have now discovered that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I tell people, say, look, me, as far as I'm concerned, a Cameroonian visa and an Australian visa, both of them are mission visas. You know, both of them are mission visas. I was telling my wife, we were discussing for certain reasons a few days ago, because in life, one of the things you have to understand in life, you must be a giver. Believe me, you must be a giver. My wife's sister lives in the UK. I said, anytime you want to go and visit, you will make sure, I will make sure I have £1,000 to put in your pocket for, you know, expenditure, which, of course, in 1 month, you are back home. You are not planning to go and sleep there forever. I mean, you have a husband here. You understand my point? And so I'm not going to follow you. No, even if I went with you, 1 week I'm back. You know, I have this thing about staying in my house. I don't know whether most of you here don't have a house like that yet. You stay with your parents and if just a few guys here. I like coming to my house. So I said, listen, anywhere, I'll make sure £1,000 must be in your pocket. Don't go there and say, you know, I came from Nigeria now. I said, you're a blessing. What's wrong with your head? You get there, take the kids out, buy them presents. By the time you are leaving, let people be crying like, why are you going? Let them say, we have seen with our eyes that God has blessed us since you came. Are you following my point? What I'm saying here is, God said, this is a grouse I have with people. They can serve me, but they can't make any demand of faith. Never. I mean, they look for prosperity just like everybody else who does not serve God. Are you getting my point? That, okay, God said, okay, now that you have saved me, you want people to be saying that your God can't do anything for you more than what he does for common people? It will say, praise God for rain. God said, he rained on the unbeliever that's a fornicator, a liar. Did he not rain on him? Yeah, thank God for the sun. He said, look at all the atheists. I have not removed sun from their heads. All the times Russia was doing communism, did that stop rain from falling? What about you that deny yourself, that worship me early in the morning, that worship me late at night? You cannot even expect me to do anything. So that is why they have no sacrifice of thanksgiving. Look, what I've been explaining, that's verse 14. He wasn't saying, you guys are not thankful. He's saying that you have no cause for thanksgiving. This is different from this general acknowledging God. That's why he said, pay your vows. Nobody pays vows to God because sun will shine tomorrow morning. No, read the scripture. Have you ever seen anybody that made a vow? Say, God, if you let the sun shine, if you just let the sun shine for the next 1 year. You know the interesting thing? They never even vowed for God when God blesses them naturally. That is, there are certain natural blessings that are expected. For men serving God, they expected that seed time and harvest shall not cease. You get my point? But there are strange things that happen once in a while. that there is famine and God speaks to Isaac, says, so in that land, because of the covenant I have with your father, because I'm your fear, I'm the one you serve at all times. I said, don't go there, so in that land. At the end of the year, the man will have cause to pay a vow to God. That's what God is talking about. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? So the God was not talking about Thanksgiving, like, make sure you are thankful for every little thing. I know. I am thankful for every little thing. I thank God for my slippers. I thank God for petrol. I thank God for everything. But God said, after serving me and being different from the wicked, there must be something that will be outstanding in your life that you're expecting. There must be. So he gathered the people and said, this is my grouse against you. All of you are empty-hearted. All you know how to do is serve. You do not know how to receive. He said, I have said, if you shall serve, I shall bless. If I'm giving you common blessing, then what is that is your portion for your service? Are you getting my point? And listen, if men don't make demands of God in difficult places, he will never do anything for them also. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. That is, what God is saying is that if you expect things to flow naturally as it comes to common men, then I will do nothing for you. You follow what I'm saying? He said he got there. He wanted to heal them. They said, is this not Joseph's son? Are his brothers not here with us? You are getting the point? His brothers are here with us. They looked at him and said, the Bible said he could there do no mighty work. Why? Because of their unbelief. It's not as if he could there, and he did no mighty work. The Bible says he could not. That is, he tried. The Bible says he saved that he laid his hand on a few sickly folk. They were not so sick. They just had small fever. So he laid his hands on them and they got well. But the blind, he left them just the way he met them. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, people don't make demand of God. They are content with serving. They are content with serving. When they sit down, they will carry a newspaper. This country is finished. Then the church says all night prayer for the nation, and they are there. And you understand what I mean by empty babblings. People shout. They really don't expect God to do anything. Nothing. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. They expect nothing. They sit down and say, the way this petrol is going, man, if you buy anything again, so. This Naira is just falling. I went to market the other day. They said Naira is now 148 to the dollar. In short, man, don't finish you. Yet, every day they say, who wants to give a special offering? He's number one. Prayer meeting, he does not miss. He's a righteous man to the core, but he expects nothing from God. He walks around with medical reports explaining to him that he's sick. No, do you get my point? You know me, I'm not a healthy person. I am a sickly person. Why? The doctor said so. So God said, all right. Why don't you serve this doctor? Maybe he'll be able to help you. How come you serve me and expect pronouncements on your health from somewhere else? Have you never heard that I am the Lord that healed thee? That the responsibility for your health, provision and promotion, and everything that you need in life must come from the one that you serve. Do you get my point? Why do you take it? I mean, you married according to God's order and you are taking a judgment on childbearing from a doctor. Are you crazy? Did you ask a wife from him? You are getting my point? God said, why don't you sit down, take the difficult situation and say, my God indeed is able. Not just this God is able to create the stars, but he can't heal your sickness. He can create style. You know, if God wiped out 5,000 galaxies to make me a millionaire, you know, I feel better. You understand my point? That is a God. God said, I can make 100 billion galaxies. I said, God, why don't you just make 90 million? And for every extra galaxy, you give me a dollar. That should be easier. The dollar is easier, isn't it? You are getting my point? But they wake up in the morning, God that made the galaxies is because they look, we are saying things you don't understand. What if I tell you that the galaxies are empty, there's nothing inside? You don't
even know. They look at it from 200 light years away and say there are 500,000 galaxies there. Yet, Bros he has no hope for life. He's hungry. He's poor. He's sick. You are getting my point? That is what he said. He said, guys, come. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That is things that you can feel. I was into one interview yesterday. He said, I'm tired of seeing my car by faith. I want the car parked outside. He said, I know you have seen your car with the eye of the spirit. He said, no, I prefer the one that is parked outside. Are you getting my point? But at least, if you can see with the eye of the spirit, it's a beginning point. Then one day, all things that are seen in the spirit will become flesh. Not the one that's only parked on the street of New York. That is, you are in Nigeria. Until you get to New York, you cannot buy one. And God locks the visa and said, I am the God that blessed thee. If I don't bless you here, I won't bless you anywhere. You go struggle. Say, okay. He said, for all the years you have served me, I must bless you so that you will have cause to do what? Give thanks. Are you getting my point? Let's read it again. He said, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let me use my words. And have a cause to pay your vows to the Most High. That's what he said. Remember we said, he wasn't talking about people who were weak sinners. Because after that, he went to verse 16. He said, but to the wicked I say. But to the wicked is my word. But the ones I'm talking to here are not the wicked. They are the righteous ones. He said, gather my godly ones, my saints, King James says, unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. There are people who I have no argument. I have no complaint against the sacrifice that they are bringing. It's according to order. Exactly. Nothing is missing. He said, but that which I desire more than all else, they don't have that one. Listen, when David danced before the ark, he really meant it. Like, so, I am the one that gathered all these people. I said, bring the ark, and they came to bring the ark. I said, sit down, and they sat down. I am indeed the king. The spirit of David that we talk about jumped inside him, and the man began to dance. He was not trying. He wasn't trying. It was because God had done something in his life. You are getting my point? And God said, that is what I want to do in the lives of everybody. I don't just want people who worship me for things that they can't see. Remember, we discussed something last time. I think I should close with that. Open to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just explain this again in case somebody is listening to this who didn't hear the other one. But I believe you got my point. God said, Now, this is a teaching on faith, the definition of faith, a functional definition. He said, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We explain this, that there are two things explained here that is called faith. One, assurance of things hoped for, and two, the conviction of things not seen. What was he saying? Now, I used to think that there are two ways of saying the same thing. I have come to understand that they are not. Do you get the point? They are not. I used to think, you see, that thing that you are sure and convinced about, you are hoping for it and you have not seen it. That is true, generally speaking, but that was not what he was talking about here. You know what he was talking about? That there is a conviction of things that are not there for you to see. For example, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. Did you ever see it? The Bible said, whom not having seen, yet you believed. He looked at Thomas. He said, now you have believed because you have seen. He said, blessed are those that we believe, though they never saw it, without seeing. That's what he was talking about. You talk about the Holy Spirit. You never saw him. The Bible said that no one has seen the Father. The only begotten Son, he has described him. What I'm saying here is this. No one saw the Father, but they know that he's there. That is what is called the conviction of things not seen. You get the point? Very different from the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. A lot of things not seen, they existed before you. You get my point? They happened before you. You have no hope of ever seeing them. You will never see Jesus on the cross. Where you want to see him? Even the photographs, they are conjectures of human beings. That is somebody's mind who believed it, drew it. You won't find it. you will never see the creation of the earth again. It was done once, it will not be repeated. But you believed against the Big Bang. Somebody said the earth will happen spontaneously. You know it is nothing spontaneous. That the creation make manifest the fact that God is. You never saw God, but you believed. These are all the things called the conviction of things not seen. That persuasion about something you did not see. That's faith. But when he uses the word hope in the Bible, hope is not the English word the way we use it. Will I see you tomorrow? I hope so. That is a wish. It's not hope. Hope is an assured expectation that you have a reason for. If I were to throw my car keys out of this window, I have an expectation that it will get down in a few seconds. 2 seconds at most. We are just 4 floors up. You follow that point? So if let's assume that Deji is downstairs. I say, Deji, bring something from my boot. He says it is locked. I have an expectation that when I throw this key, it will get to him. You know, it doesn't always work like that. If I went to the moon, if I threw the key, it would just keep on flying. If I was in space, if I just throw the key, it will keep flying. You know, you drink water without thinking. If they took you in the space shifting to outer space, weightlessness, if you try to drink water, it doesn't flow. You have to suck the water. Because there's no gravity to push it down. I'm explaining something here. Because of my experience or my knowledge of gravity, I have an expectation that when I throw my key, it will go down. Do you understand my point? That is my expectation has a reason. Are you getting the point? A hope is something I expect because I have a reason. If you tell me X is equal to 2 times Y, so what is X when Y is equal to 4? I know that X is equal to 8 because I am aware that X is equal to 2 times Y. That's simple arithmetic. So I have an expectation that when I'm drawing this graph, it will get to a particular point. Why? I have reasons. Do you get my point? Now, hope is something you are expecting that you have not yet seen. That is, it has not yet happened, physically speaking. Because Paul said, how can a man hope for that which he already sees? You follow what I'm trying to say? That hope is that you expect, in this context, God to do that he has not yet done, physically speaking. So he said, faith is the assurance of the expectation that I have. Are you getting my point? So the man who is sick physically, he has not yet been healed physically, but he believes God that because spiritually, by his stripes I have been healed, that I will experience the physical manifestation of the healing. Are you getting my point? Now, this is my issue. Most Christians stop at the conviction of things not seen. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, and in the Holy Spirit. This one died on, born of Virgin Mary, died on the first day and rose on the third day. And you go and you recite everything. You call it what? Apostles' Creed. All of it. Things not seen. So you say, what has God said about your poverty? No word. What has God said about the fact that you do not have a good degree and you are a Nigerian and you will never get a visa? Nothing. Are you getting my point? That is, he has no expectation and he calls himself a believer. We preached that sermon some time ago. What do you believe? Being a believer is not reciting the Apostles' Creed. That is half of being a believer. Those are things not seen. Things not seen must have, they must generate an expectation in present time. Are you getting my point? He said to Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. Abraham said, very good. Those are things not seen. What do you give me seeing that I go childless? That is, no, you got to give me something. If you are my shield and my exceedingly great reward, then you got to give me something. My shield, I can't see it. My exceedingly great reward, I can't see it. He says, so what are you going to give me? My exceedingly great reward. Thank you very much for the information. How do we describe it to mankind? How will they say he's the God of Abraham? Do you get my point? For goodness sake, I'm not a Muslim. I see Muslims they think that the reason why Christianity is growing is because Pentecostal churches have bought drums and their pastors dressed nice. And they hold prayer rallies on the express, Lagos Ibadan Express Road. So they started their own Pentecostal movement. You know, with young yuppie guys who preach the message of Muhammad in jeans and t-shirt. Oh, you've not seen them? Ah, look at these ignorant people. Where are you in this country? Go to Lagos. Around that redemption camp, what do you find? You find Deeper Life Campground, you find Redemption Camp, you find Prayer City, then you find Nafsat. That's the Muslim one. They too bought land there. They think it's by buying land on the express. No, the difference is that the Christians have a message. They don't tell you about some virgins and alcohol in Arjuna when you have died. They tell you that all of you who are sick, come and receive healing. Things present. Faith for things expected. Are you getting my point? They tell you that this is your year of breakthrough. These are things that people need. So they have a hope. When they came to John, Jesus Christ, John the Baptist sent them. He said, are you the one to come or we are to expect another? Jesus said, watch this. And that time he began to heal many people. Then he turned, said, go and tell John the Baptist what you both see and hear. You want to know whether I'm the one to come? The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. You saw it and you heard about it. And the dead are raised. As for the poor, I preach that gospel that will bring them out of poverty to them. That is one message Muslims don't have. No matter how much land you buy, you cannot grow like those that have a message of hope. It's not possible. Are you getting my point? Are you following what the point I'm trying to make here? That God said, this is faith. Half of it is to believe things that will happen in heaven or things that happened years ago that your eyes have never seen and your physical eyes may never see. That is half. There is a second half. That because of those things that your eyes have never seen and will never see, there should be a reality for the present. And how do you know a man who is expecting it? There is a way he's walking. So they looked and said, what is that God? He said, it's the God of Abraham. Remember what we said? God has no physical description. You know, you can't draw him. If you draw him, you have sinned. See, this is what God looks like. You draw him, you make a statue that looks like anything in the heavens, it's a sin. So how do we describe him? He said, watch this. Look at Abraham. Talk to Abraham. He said, Abraham, how was your life like? He said, nah. At 75, God called me. He said, I'm thy shield. I will bless you. He said, at that time, my wife never born. He said, believe this. When she was 90 and I was 100, she gave birth to Isaac. Ah! He said, yes. The guy who did that, his name is God. That's the God I'm talking about. You get the point? You get the point? That is the description for God is the thing he has done in the life of somebody. Because now you understand why God was concerned. That these guys don't want me to have a description. They want to behave like a Muslim. You go to Mecca, you do this, you do all the things. You do all the physical things and there is no reward. Then how do they describe me now? Are you getting my point? So the description God wants is that he looks at Abraham. He said, your descendants, physical descendants, will be like the stars of heaven. For your information, when Abraham saw that vision, you know, among the things he saw, those of us who are gathered here this evening. Because there are two kinds of descendants he had. Descendants of faith and descendants of the flesh. You get my point? Amongst descendants of faith are people like us sitting down here. God told Abraham, you have to understand what Abraham was. An absolute non-entity in the world of civilization. You don't get the point. He was a nomad. He never built a house. He was pitching tents. Go and read the story. Before that time, people were building cities. You don't know that? They were building cities before Abraham. When Abraham was living in tents and moving around with sheep, they were building cities elsewhere. Yet God looked and said, the greatest cities will be by your descendants. That's what God was telling him. He said, the greatest pieces of land on earth will be owned by your descendants. The greatest inventions on this earth will be done by your descendants. Abraham looked at it, and the moment Isaac was born, he knew the word of God concerning every other thing will never fail. Are you getting my point? Let me summarize to this message, because we have to close now. God said, you have served me, I know, but what exactly do you expect from your life? Are you drawing your expectation based on natural progression of things without divine intervention? That's an expression from one of my friends. He said, the natural progression of things, excluding divine intervention. Yes, you have a degree, so you get a good job and build a career working in a place. So have you received that vision that I have for your life, which is actually smaller, that is the one you can conceive, than what I can do? He says, start now. Have an expectation so that you will have a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, there is a thanksgiving you will do on one day. It is not just that, praise God, My wife delivered yesterday. Amen. Now, we're all expecting her to deliver, actually. And the next year, you have another Thanksgiving for that. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. No, really. We have to thank God for those little things. But I'm talking about a dramatic one. That one day when you are 50, 60, you look back over your life and say, wait, I have to thank God. And that 1 hour of TV giving a testimony, God gets enough glory to last stories for the next 100 years. You know what I mean by last stories? That is, they want to describe God. They use your life as a story. You follow what I'm trying to say? Get that message we preached some time ago. What do you believe? It's a very important message. It will tie this thing I've said together with it, and you will really, really be blessed by those words. If you have been blessed today, say amen. All right, let us pray.